Hey everyone, welcome to the What's Your Life Journey podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. Every other week, we'll bring you life-giving conversations that will help you to discover and embrace your true identity, to see that you are not alone in your pain, and inspire you to overcome your battles. Thank you for joining this conversation today. Now let the journey begin. Hey everyone, my name is Kira Miller. I am the host of the What's Your Life Journey podcast. Wanted to welcome you back. Today's guest, we have Liz Mace, who is a singer-songwriter, and she is half of Megan and Liz. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We can't wait to share her story. So when we hung out like a couple weeks ago, you talked about how you've kind of always struggled with like feeling worthy of good things and like not feeling like you deserve good things in your life. So can you kind of take me from the beginning? Like, who would you say Liz Mace was in the beginning of that journey?
Well, I think I was a young girl. I mean, I was like in my early teens. And like, unfortunately, I think that's when a lot of girls start to feel what I felt about not feeling worthy. Mm-hmm. You put a lot of emphasis on your weight. You put a lot of emphasis on your beauty. You put a lot of emphasis on comparing yourself to other girls. Mm-hmm. And like, so that kind of started just when I was like, you know, an early teen. Mm-hmm. And the thing is I definitely know that I'm not alone in that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, you know, probably you, probably like my mom, probably, you know, like every single girl, I think, started to feel a little drop of that, no matter how amazing they were raised, no matter what point that they were in.
Society.
Yeah, it's just kind of like growing up the way that we grow up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, she was young. Little Liz Mace was young. She was, I mean, like I was excited and I'm always excited, but there was just kind of that, you know, I vividly remember like looking in my diary, like writing in my diary when I was 11, I think, like, I'm really not that skinny, so I'm going to start working out. Like, when you're 11 years old and you start thinking about, like, how your body isn't, like, what you see in the magazines, like, that is wild to me. And, like, even, like, looking back at it, I'm like, wow, I was 11 years old starting to work out.
Was that kind of the first, like, maybe moment in your life where you can look back and be like, that's kind of the defining moment where I know that I wasn't feeling the way – or feeling good enough, I guess?
Yeah.
Dang, that's far back.
It's far back, but it's also like I was, you know, I have a mom who literally raised me to think that I was the most beautiful thing in the whole world. Like she gave me the best examples. Yeah. Like, you know, it had nothing to do with the way I was raised. It had everything to do with just being a young girl.
Oh, yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Which is crazy because no matter like the family you come from, you're always going to be impacted by what's around you, which is, you know, magazines or TV or the people you're around. Like, it doesn't really matter what your parents do because you're always going to be impacted.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's wild because, like, in my life, the interesting thing was I think I told you this, but I grew up, like, kind of feeling like a failure because – but I don't think it's what my parents did. It was just my brother was, like, so good at everything that I was like, okay – I either have to be like him or I can fail. And so I started to do everything that he would do, and then I failed miserably, of course, because it wasn't me. So it's just – it's interesting to see that, like, it doesn't really have to be your parents necessarily. It could just be, like, almost internally or externally influence you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of take us then from where you were at 11 and you started working out. Like, what kind of came next on that journey for you?
What
were some voices in your head maybe at the time or?
I mean, basically just like it was normal. Like it was, you know, I thought that that was normal.
Yeah.
You know, like I thought that everybody worked out. And I thought that, you know, in order to look a certain way, you had to do this and you had to do that. And so like that just kind of continued up until like really, I know this whole podcast is about like overcoming, you know, the really like tough things.
Well, we can talk about the process still. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So. Like, really, when I was 14 is when, like, I really started manipulating what I ate and really started manipulating, like, even more. Like, because at that point, I had gone through puberty. Like, it was, like, that was, like, what my body was going to be. And, of course, I wasn't happy with it, which is awful, like looking back, you know, like awful.
Yeah.
So then that's when like I really was like first like diagnosed with like anorexia. Mm. Like I was 83 pounds.
Wow.
And like I just remember thinking like I was literally trapped and like not, and it was because I didn't feel like I was worthy of like a boy liking me or like anything like that if I was bigger, you know what I mean? And so then I put all of my worth on my weight, and the lower the scale went, the more I felt happy, you know what I mean? If I gained some weight, I would feel like I was the worst person in the world. If I ate my lunch, I would feel like I was the worst person in the world. But if I didn't, I was like, I am so much better than this person, that like who I was before, because I'm able to do this. Like nobody else can like not eat their lunch, but I can do this, and that makes me worthy.
Yeah.
And so that was like a really big, that was like when in like middle school, like 14. And then like, you know, obviously my family was like, Liz, like something is wrong.
Yeah.
And so then that was the first time that I like, I think that was the first time that I like actually, I talked to somebody about it. I started reading books about it. And like
Were there people either in your circle or like at your school that you felt like you could kind of talk to about it too? Or like
no
one else was doing that or not talking about it at least?
Yeah. No, I it was still hard for me to talk about then.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's still hard to talk about now, but it's so much better now. Like people always say like in order to get over what the trauma or like whatever it is, you have to talk about it and say it out loud, and you know, because it doesn't give you power anymore.
Yeah.
But that was like the first time that I really struggled with it and actually admitted it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there were ups and downs like throughout my whole high school career and into like my early 20s. I'm 20, almost 26 now, but like it's like I actually feel like I have like a hold on it now, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. So going back to like middle school, just because like, so two of my best friends were anorexic and like one actually had to go to rehab like in Salt Lake City and ended up like coming back 6 months later. And I think like my biggest question for you was like, who is kind of there holding you up during that period? And like, and even now too, like just really encouraging you like, hey, I know you're going through this, but like I want to push you to like out of your comfort zone and I want to help you, you know, get better and stuff. So who was there like holding you up, would you say?
I mean, my twin sister, you know, I mean, my twin sister and my mom, you know, they just really told, the thing that changed for me was, it was like, this is the body that I have for the rest of my life. And I'm putting a lot of worth on my weight right now, but I'm affecting my health right now. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to have children.
Yes.
And I, and like my mom would always tell me, she's like, when you're ready to have a baby, like you don't want to look back at the time that you were 14 and 80 pounds and like how that affected your health. She was like, this is not, you know what I mean? She's like, you're going to put worth on so much more in your life.
Yeah.
Like
you have
later
to think
on,
about your future too, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is truly what changed my whole perspective, and that's what I always think about. Like when I'm thinking those thoughts, is like, I am worth so much more than what I'm
doing,
trying to do, because I place so much worth on my future, and like who I'm going to be in my future.
Yeah,
so
absolutely, and the potential that you have.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, that's I feel like I've always struggled with the opposite problem of like consuming too much food and like have a lot of shame with it too. And so it's interesting to hear the perspective of like how it'll impact your future, because everyone always talks to me. They're like, Kira, like think about your health when you're 80 and stuff. And I'm like, I don't really want to think about that. Like I just want to do what I'm doing now. And but I will say, I mean, I think it's interesting that it helps another person to think about their future.
Yeah.
Because that's like what impacted it for you.
And there's a thing with like food and like eating disorders, like no matter which way you spin it, like food is something that you can control. And one way or the other. And you do, like, I know we keep, like, the main topic is, like, worth.
Yeah.
But, like, you do. You place your worth on food, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But we all do it in some way. Mm-hmm. And, like, to find that balance is, like, so important. Yeah. And to put your worth in other things is, like, really hard.
Yeah.
But it is so worth it.
Yeah. So, okay, when you talk about control then, how would you say that that has, like, impacted your life beyond eating disorders and stuff? Like, how would you say that that has impacted your career, maybe your relationships, anything like that? Like, how do you feel like that's just impacted your life?
I mean, just it's hard to, like, to find the balance between being confident and knowing that you're worthy. Because the last thing that I ever want, and I feel like a lot of people want, is for people to be like, oh my God, she thinks she is, like, so awesome. She thinks she is so great. Like, she thinks so highly of herself. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it in a way that's like benefiting other people as well as yourself. Mm-hmm. And that I've always struggled with. I never want people to think that I am cocky or, like, you know, like, I never want people to think that. And so then I devalue myself. You know what I mean? Like,
so you almost do the opposite.
I do the opposite because I'm like, I don't want people to think that I'm, like, overconfident, or, like, I don't want people to talk behind my back and be like, that girl thinks that she is all that, like, blah, 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 blah. But I'm kind of like, we should all think we're all that.
Yeah.
We all should think that we are all that because we freaking are. So in my career, like, that's kind of affected me. Like, I've definitely done deals for way less money than I should have because I was like, well, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know if, like, I'm, like, worth as much as this person. So, like, I'm just going to ask for, like, less money and, like, maybe they'll want to work with me again. Or you're like, well, I don't really deserve to write with that person, so I'm not going to reach out to them. You know, but you'd surprise yourself if you just ask or if you just, like, fulfill your own worth, that because people see it in you if you don't see it in yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been wild because since our last conversation, I've actually been reading a book that kind of has, like, the opposite, what's the word? Like, the opposite perspective almost. Because I think I told you this, but for me, I always looked in the mirror and was like, you're awesome, you're awesome, you're awesome. Yeah. And that's how I, like, tried to build up my confidence.
Yeah.
This book literally, and it's like a faith-based book, but it talks about how we have these lines of, like, people always, like, have the quotes and stuff, like, I am enough, all that kind of stuff. But this person actually challenges that and says, like, what if we stopped saying that we are enough and actually agreed? I don't want to word this in the wrong way, but it's like the book is like, well, the lie that always comes to us is like, I'm not enough, I'm not enough. So what if we actually agreed with that and we're like, I am not enough, but that's okay because I'm not supposed to be enough.
Yeah, of course.
And, like, so,
yeah,
which has been really challenging for me because, like I said, I always did the opposite. I always looked in the mirror and was like, I am enough, I'm enough, I'm amazing, all that kind of stuff. And I thought it, I think it worked for the time and for what it was, but, like, I think it's been really powerful now for me to, like, just know that, no, I am not enough. And, like, I don't think I ever will be enough because I wasn't made to be enough. And I think that there was supposed to be, like, space left over for God, essentially, to
come absolutely.
In with the strength and stuff.
That kind of – that's another thing, too, that I wanted to touch on, actually, was, like, you can't put something higher than God or whatever you believe in, whatever
some
that may be.
Power.
You can't put your weight, you can't put your success, you can't put your money, you can't put your beauty, you can't put anything above God, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not, it's that's not what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
That's not what
you're really made
that's not
for.
How you're gonna live your life, and that's how you get cocky. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of, like, where that comes from,
so
I
that
think.
That keeps it humble.
Yeah. I think and I'm – so I'm kind of, like, a combo of, like
– Yeah.
Of, like, yes, I think that there is space, but at the same time,
I'm
very about encouraging myself.
Yeah.
And I think that I've looked back way too much in my life and been like, man, if I would have just encouraged myself a little bit more, I could have made so much more money on that deal.
Yep.
Like, or I'm – you know, I could have written with that person and it would have been fine if I just would have been like, no, like, you are really good at what you do, so you can just, like, go ahead and ask.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting topic of like that there is space. And I absolutely agree that there is space because I think that's what makes you the difference between confident and cocky.
Yeah. So. And I think it's been a hard line for me because I've always surrounded myself with people, well, lately, who are like, the more confident you are and like the more power you have over your career, your life and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, like I believe that so hard. And then this book just like, I can't say it's completely like changed that state of thinking for me, but it has definitely like challenged it and has been like, oh my God, do I actually need to, instead of like being like, oh, I'm enough, do I actually need to say, no, I'm not enough. And that's okay because I wasn't made to be.
Yeah.
And so I think it is kind of that line though, where you're going now too, is it's like, you're right, I'm not enough and there is something greater, but he makes me worthy of belonging and worthy of love and all that kind of stuff.
And whatever that may be. You know, I mean, if you're a Christian, it's God. If you're not a Christian, it's just, you know, that wanting to be, you know, not cocky. You know what I mean? Like, whatever that is for you, like, it's up to whoever it is to decide what that space is. But, like, for me personally, it's been God.
Yeah.
For you personally, it's been God. But, you know, I think that it is important to have that
individual
space and, and know that that's what's going to make you, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So going back to, like, again, just kind of the control thing, like how – what were maybe some opportunities in your career that you felt like you didn't – that didn't end up working out because you maybe did devalue yourself or the opposite, like maybe you felt like – well, you didn't take an opportunity because you didn't feel like you were worthy of it or something. Like, can you talk about that?
I actually had a songwriting session yesterday that, like, made me think of this. Is like, I get major, like, vocal booth anxiety. Like, I would, like, rather sing in front of, like, 500 people, in a live show than just stand in, like, a vocal booth and, like, have everybody just listen to, like, my mistakes that I'm making.
But is this more intimate like that?
Too? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Literally, it's like, because if you mess up in the vocal booth, it's like everybody's, like, sitting in the room and they're like, But something I need to get over. But
that's cool. I've never heard someone talk about that.
Yeah. It's like such a thing for me. Yeah. But I kind of let it affect my attitude, you know, because I went into that session like knowing that I was going to have to record the demo and like that was something that was out of my control. Yep. And like I knew that I wasn't going to know the song. I didn't know what the song was going to be. So I couldn't learn it before I went to the vocal booth. Like, and that was an issue of control for me because I was like, well, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how I'm going to sing it.
Yeah.
And I let that affect me within my attitude. You know, I was very serious. And then we ended up writing this awesome song that was so fun. And I was telling the girl that I wrote it with literally last night, I was like, I wish I just would have let it – I just wish I would have had more fun because I just – I was so hard on myself, like not – knowing what I was going into and like letting that control like take over me that I like I just didn't have fun and that sucks you
know? Because like your job like you're doing your job because it's fun and because you love what you're doing so take the small things and like have fun with it
but
I know it's easier said than done
absolutely but that's like you know something that I'm taking into control like or into like I'm like okay now I'm in control of it next time I go into a session it's up to me to have a good attitude and whatever I write, I'm going to write. And if I have to sing the demo and it takes me 500 takes and it's going to take me 500 takes, you know? But so that's something in particular that I'm definitely.
In the writing process, is it, do you feel like it's easier for you when you kind of like let your guard down and just like just go?
No. I'm a very structured, I was saying before this even started, like I'm a very structured, overachieving person. So, and the way that I grew up in songwriting was not the true artist way of like, feel your feelings and like, you know, like what your soul's telling you. Like, I was not raised, quote unquote, like to be a songwriter like that. Yeah. I was raised to make a product, which is fine.
And it's an art in itself.
But I was, but that's like, I moved to Nashville and did 5 writing sessions a week. And out of those 5 songs, those 5 songs would be produced and those 5 songs would be out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they had to be top of the line.
Yep. And absolutely.
So I don't know. So I definitely don't, I don't do well when I let my guard down. I'm a very emotional person when I do. And I, to the point where I literally am sobbing in a session and it's embarrassing.
Can't let go.
So what I like to do is kind of emotionally think about those things by myself and then come up with the ideas from that and then bring it into the session.
Yeah.
So I'm not so emotional.
Gotcha.
It's like I'm literally like crying in a session. And I'm like, and I can't stop. Literally cannot stop. And I can't do my job, which is what I'm there to do.
So it's almost better to go do that on your own.
No, literally, though. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it sounds like you might be kind of more of the leader of your sister group or no?
No.
Really?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Is it very, like, mutual for you guys?
She's definitely more business than I am. Mm-hmm. She's extremely smart. Yeah. I mean, she's the one who, like, thought of us doing this in the first place. Yeah. She is just, like, she is the
boss. So you both are, like, pretty hardcore leaders then together?
In different ways, yeah.
That's cool. Okay.
Like, I would say that I'm much more social. Like, I have, like, you know, like, I kind of make the connections. Mm-hmm. And then she makes them into, like, something that's tangible.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, we're very...
That's cool.
We're a really good pair, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
I respect her so much. Yeah. It's, like, ridiculous. Like, she is truly an incredible human.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Because I feel like there's always, whether it be who I'm working for or, like, my friends, mm-hmm. it seems like there's kind of that one person who, like... They're not the best one, but they just, like, kind of take charge of everything. Yeah. And so it's, like, it's really cool to hear that you guys are kind of the opposite, where you really do that both yourselves.
So, oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We balance each other out, and we're both leaders in a way. Mm-hmm. So
she's, like, really been holding you up, like, both personally and professionally during all this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do without her. Mm. Like, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to know. Like, and I'm never going to have to know, thank God. So.
And what does that look like for you? Like, what does her support look like? Just because I feel like sometimes people don't always have support systems. And so, like, what does that look like for you?
I mean, she's tough. Yeah. I mean, she's tough. Like, it's not.
She's honest.
She's honest and she's tough. And she, like, it's definitely not like a, like, tenderness. Like, she's not like, it's okay. Like, you know, you can do it. Like, it's going to be fine. It's like, are you going to get it together? Because, like, this is your life. And, like,
we all need that.
Yeah. And, I mean, of course, she is tender in ways. Like, we can talk about things a lot.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the really hard stuff, like, she just knows how to, like, team up with my mom to, like, get me to be the strongest person that I can be.
Yeah.
So.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, and now enter in, you're married very recently.
Yeah.
So how has that, okay, like, maybe talk about how, like, worthiness has impacted that part of your life and also how, like, that's been such a great support network for you.
Yeah. Well, Weston is an incredible man in general. Yeah. And I am a really big believer in, like, you don't need a partner to complete you. Yeah. I think a partner is incredible. Yeah, and I think that, like, a great addition to your life. And if God brings you somebody, then enjoy it.
Yeah.
But he really has been just an inspiration, like a muse to, like, being a better person in every single aspect of my life.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I really started going to therapy, like, a lot, like, right when I first met him, not because I met him. Yeah. Like, that's not just, it just so happened that, like, that was when. And I literally told my therapist, I was like, I don't ever want to be in that dark place again because I met somebody who makes me want to be the best version of myself. And I want to be a mom to his children. Like, I want to raise a family together. And I need to be healthy for it. I need to be mentally healthy. I need to be, like, I want to live this life with him that's going to, like, be something really good.
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And he's not, like, trying to do that. It's just, like, the person that he is is just very, like, he's just a good man, you know, and, like, wants good for everybody. Yeah. And that really, like, reflected on me. Oh,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's been a really big support for you then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And then, like, how do you feel like it's even challenged your relationship at all? Like, if you want to talk about it, you don't have to, but just, like, not feeling worthy maybe in the beginning or maybe now too, like, as you're going to therapy and everything.
Yeah. It's actually funny because that's one of our, like, fights that we, like, fight about is, like, I'm always, like, oh, like, I don't deserve you. Like, you know, like, you're so, like, you're too good for me. Yeah. Like, blah, 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 blah. And he's always, like, what are you talking about? Like, that's, like, so stupid. Yeah. Like, it's, like, no. Yeah. Like, that's not – so, yeah, it definitely affects my relationships.
Yep.
I don't know. It's really interesting. I mean, it's something that, like, we work through, but it's like
absolutely.
if you like, if anybody's been in like a long-term relationship with somebody, it's like you kind of have that one argument that keeps coming up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like one of ours. It's like I'm always like, babe, like, I just like, you know, you're so like, you do this and you do that and I don't do and I just, and he's like, no, like and he's really good at reminding me at everything that I've accomplished, everything that I am, everything that like I really like in myself. Those are his favorite parts of me. So he reminds me of that. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right. Like I do deserve you and we deserve each other.
Yeah.
So
does that help a lot too when someone, either yourself or someone else, like, shows you something you did in the past and you like reflect on it and you're like, I did that so I can do it again now.
Yeah. And that's actually something that I've started to do.
Same.
That's helped a lot. It's like, look at your dang accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Like really
celebrate them.
Like everybody, no matter where you are in your life, has done something that you're freaking proud of. And if you need to like print out the picture from that day or like hang up the accomplishment, like, or like whatever it is, like, you need to do it.
Because
you need that daily reminder that, like, you accomplished this, like, you got this many views on a video, or you got, you know, like, you earned this degree, or you, like, you helped that family, or like, whatever. Like, you need to see those, like, tangible reminders. Yeah.
It's so weird because yesterday, same thing happened. I, like, it's not even that I was starting to feel down on myself. I started to remember, like, something that I do every single day that I'm like, this is a win every single day. And when I don't do it, which has been like a handful of times of my life, I'm like, okay, then I lost that day. It's literally making my bed. I'm like, because I'm such a structured person, making my bed every day. When I looked back on it yesterday, I'm like, dang, I'm like, this is a win for my life today.
You got it together.
Yeah. Because I'm so structured and like orderly, as long as I can win at one thing in the day, I think I've won the day.
Yeah, and that's actually really important too that I've learned in this whole thing about feeling worthy is you need to feel worthy every single day. You need to feel that your worth is something that you do every day.
And so, it can't change.
And it can't change. So like you making your bed every day, like the day could be the worst day of your life, but you know what? You still come home to a made bed.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, and it's great to sleep in. So
for me, a lot of it was like I started working out. Yeah. Like there's a time where I just wasn't happy in a lot of parts of my life, but you know what? At the end of the day, like at least I, you know, like ran a couple miles. Yeah. You know what I mean? I accomplished that today. So like you need to accomplish something every day and you're like put your worth in something that's small. You know?
Because it could be the smallest thing.
Yeah.
Really.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And like the small wins end up leading to big wins, I feel like anyways. So I think we get so caught up in like it impacting the world or achieving these huge things, which are very admirable, and I love that. But I think we often forget that like everything starts out small.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something daily. Smallest thing could be writing in your journal, saying gratitude, anything like that. Like that's going to change your mindset, change your attitude, and help you to tell your own story or to help other people tell theirs or whatever. Like it's the smallest things that count. And I think sometimes we forget to do them or don't want to do them because they're the simplest things that are actually the hardest things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's mundane and it's like,
it's mundane, but human beings, I think, are made to be, you know, they're made to accomplish things.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think
be disciplined.
And be disciplined. In a, you know, you don't have to be super clean. You don't have to like whatever, whatever. But I think you really do need that daily something that's going to like feel like you got it together.
Yeah. So aside from working out, like, is there anything that you feel like you do every day, or it doesn't even have to be every day, just like regularly, that kind of helps you like stay in the right mindset and stuff? Because for me, it's reading, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, working out's huge, but that's also something that I've had to learn that you can't put all your worth on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can't put all your worth on like, oh, if I didn't work out today, then you feel awful about yourself. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I listen to a lot of, like, educational, like, podcasts and, like, just, like, about, like, human history, not, like, presidential history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, like, educational things. Yeah. I'm like, hey, at least I, like, learned this fun fact today.
Yeah, so easy listening. That's, like, great knowledge.
So I do that, and, like, that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. I really like cooking. So, like, if I cook something, like, I'll be like, oh, I feel really good
because
I cook something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all of those things make me really feel
worthy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's ever been maybe like a could be a Bible verse, could be an inspirational quote, even someone's story that you've heard that you were just like, wow, I relate to them so much, or like that has kind of defined my entire journey?
Let me think. I think like my favorite quote of all time, it kind of relates, but kind of doesn't. But it's, remember when you once were praying for everything that you have today, you know, or remember when you were like really wanting everything that you, that you had today, you know, like that, I think that's really important to always think about is like you were
again,
really
kind of looking back on the past.
Exactly. Like it's like you literally were just, you wanted everything that you have so bad that you have right now. And you need to be really, really thankful for that. And that has helped me a lot.
Because so having that gratitude.
Because, yeah, it's, you have to look back and be like, man, I really wanted to, like, meet a man who was going to, you know, who I was going to marry, blah, blah, blah. And, like, our first month of marriage has been freaking wild. Just, like, everything has not planned out the way we wanted to, just with, like, our living situation and, like, my, like, I crashed my car and, like, all this. Oh, my gosh. It has been, like, the most hectic first month of marriage. And, like, in, like, the times that I was, like, that we were sitting there and I was like, oh, it'd be so much better if we lived downtown, or like, oh, it'd be so much better if like whatever, whatever. Like, I was like, no, like you were like, I wanted to marry him and I wanted to be married and like, and that's really important in this moment. And like, it'll be fine.
And that keeps you grounded. Oh, that's cool. I like that. And then I would also ask to like, what, I feel like because I wouldn't say, well, yeah, I guess a lot of the listeners are like young teens who, you know, struggle with image issues and just feelings of worthlessness and stuff. So like, what do you feel like if you could go back and tell your younger self something, like what would you tell Liz Mace when she was 14 years old? What would you tell her to do?
Oh, geez, that's a great question.
Someone asked me that once and I was like, I'm using that.
I would say it's okay to, like, have fun. Like I said, like, I'm a very, like, overachiever. Like, I don't know. I would just say, like, relax and, like, have fun. I mean, I need to tell myself that, like, now.
Absolutely.
Because I'm a very, like, open, like, fun, like, I think pretty, like, bubbly person in general. But I just sometimes get in these situations where I'm like, oh, my God. Like, But so I would tell my 14-year-old self, it's okay, like, have some fun, like, just relax. Like, you can kiss a boy. It's going to be fine. Your grades aren't going to mean everything.
It's okay to make – not even mistakes. It's okay to do things that maybe you're not supposed to do, though, and because you learn from them.
Like, your grades literally – like, I know this is, like, probably not the best message, but I'm sorry, but I this is the one thing is, like, your grades, don't worry about them. Like, do your best, but, like, don't, like, break your back over them. You're gonna grow out of this awkward phase. Like, and also,
I
like,
wish I knew that in middle school.
And like, there are so many things, like, again, this might be like weird or whatever, but like, I love makeup. I love some fake lashes. I love some fake hair. Like, literally, it's like, there's so much fun that you can have with your appearance and like so much, like, and you're allowed to do that. And if it makes you feel good, then do it.
And if it's something you love to do.
And if it's something you love to do, then do it. Like, and you're going to grow out of this, like, phase. And, like, you're going to learn how to do your makeup the way you want to. And, like, people aren't going to care what you look like.
The older you get, right?
The older you get. Like, you just – you're and you're not – like, you're going to, like, know what feels really good for you. And you're going to know what makes you feel really pretty. And then that's the only thing that's going to matter. So.
And I also say, like – to people, hang on, because like you're saying at 26 and like for me at almost 25, it's like, just hold on. The awkward face sucks. We both went through it and it's not fun. But like, I don't, I mean, I'm still a little awkward, but like I, for the most part, I've grown out of that. Absolutely. It's natural. But like, for the most part, I've grown out of the awkwardness of like, oh my God, what am I going to wear today? Or like, do I need to wear makeup? Do I need to wear a bra? All that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my God, calm down.
And also, like, high school really is a bubble. Like, you don't realize it until you're out of it. And I know that's what everybody says, but like, the real world is so much more fun.
Yeah.
And so much more flexible, yep. And just allows you to really, like, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And high school just doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't matter because, yep, in reality, you're not going to see half of those people, mm-hmm, like, that you were in high school with.
Yeah.
Your grades aren't really going to matter.
Yeah.
You're not going to look the same as you did in high school because, mm-hmm, you're just not.
Yeah.
And also, like, the girls that are, like, really, like, hot and, like, have, yeah, all the guys and blah, 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 like, they're not, I don't know. Like, they're going to
peak in high school.
They're going to change too. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm, it's like they may just continue on this path of being, like, the top of the food chain their whole lives, yeah, or, like, they're going to just have a real job like everybody else, mm, and you're all going to balance out. Like, yeah, everybody's just going to balance out and, yeah, like, it's not going to be so exaggerated.
Hmm. So, and I like that you included not just the people who, like, go and leave the towns and stuff, but you also talked about, like, people who grow out of high school but, like, still remain there. Because, mm-hmm, I think oftentimes I think of people and I'm like, well, I got out of there and so, mm-hmm, I got out of that mess. So, like, I'm doing great. But, mm-hmm, the people who are left behind, like, sucks to be you because high school and that town and, mm-hmm, everything, like, that sucks. But I like how you kind of said to, like, well, I mean, and I guess my question with that would just be, like, what encouragement would you give to people who maybe aren't like us, who haven't, like, gone to travel and, mm-hmm, even moved out of wherever the town we grew up in and, yeah, stuff like that? Like, people who are still almost, like, stuck in that town.
Well, I don't think that you can be stuck in your hometown. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I think a hometown is a great thing, yep, to be. Home is
– I kind of miss it.
Home is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that – I don't know. Like, I don't – yes, I, like, got out of, yeah, my hometown. But, like, I have friends who still live there, mm-hmm, like, and are close to their families and, yeah, see their families every day. And, like – and that's the life that they chose. And, absolutely, that's incredible. I don't – it kind of – it's like home is great.
Yeah.
And home is – home rejuvenates you. And home, yeah, is something
relaxes
that –
relaxes you.
Home is something that is very underrated.
Yeah.
And I don't think that staying there is bad. I really, mm, don't.
Yep.
If that's where your life takes you, then that's where, yeah, your life takes you.
Yep.
And there's a reason that you're staying. Mm-hmm. It's because you love it.
Yep.
And because it loves you.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny because I always used to be the person who was like, I want to get out of my hometown. I,
yeah,
hate it. Like, F everybody. That, yeah, kind of stuff. But now, like, I mean, I appreciate this season of my life for sure. But, like, home is, like, stable.
Yeah.
And it's really relaxing and, yeah, just, like, not chaotic.
Yeah.
And even the town I grew up in is that way because there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it.
Yeah.
It's simple.
And there's and no shame in that. There should, yeah, be no shame in that.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, like, stay in your hometown, don't have shame.
Yeah.
Like, this is – like, everybody is just trying to live their lives,
yep,
and be happy,
yep,
and be proud of what they're doing. And if that means you're in your hometown, yeah, then great.
Do that. Yeah.
Then live your life.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm.
All right, so to wrap up, who would you say Liz Mace is now on this, ew, journey? And you can totally say, like, a work in progress still,
because, yeah,
that's – it's not – I know you've overcome stuff, but, like, the point of this podcast is to talk about that, but also, like, to talk about, you know, what you're still going through, mm-hmm, and how you're still working on things.
I would say now I'm really empowered. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am extremely worthy of everything that I have.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to remind myself of that every, mm-hmm, day, but – I know that I am worthy of it.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about my life. Like, yep, I have worked so hard in my life to,
yeah,
to, like, get to where I am. And I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Like,
now you get to celebrate it.
Now I get to celebrate it.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have celebrated it more when, hmm, I was in it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. But, you know, I think I've learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I've lived about 20 lives. Like, the music business has, like, really shown me,
sure,
shown me a lot,
yeah,
and, like, really, like,
I learned so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have a lot to give. I honestly,
yeah,
do.
Mm-hmm.
To young girls in particular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like I feel like, honestly, I'm what I needed,
yeah,
when I was growing up,
mm-hmm,
and when I was a teenager,
yep,
who I am now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm.
That's
awesome.
Kind of how I feel.
Yeah. Do you feel like, are there ways for you now to be, like, getting involved with young girls and stuff? Like, mm-hmm, have you been, and or are you planning to or anything like that?
I mean,
obviously your social media.
Yeah, like, as of now, you know, like, I do try and use my social media yeah. as like.
Oh, yeah. You're a voice for that generation.
I yeah. really do try. You mm-hmm. know, like I try not to be just, you know, here's a picture of myself. It's yep. like I really try to like tie be it honest. Back to like the lesson that I've learned mm-hmm. type thing.
Yeah.
But I really would like to do something on a larger scale. I don't know what that is yet. Yeah. But it's definitely something that I feel called to do mm-hmm. and would love to like investigate further.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is yet. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, but, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on today.
Yeah.
Appreciate you sharing everything and just like talking about, you know, I mean, I say this every time, but that's because it's the point of the podcast. Like talking about the ways you have overcome it, but the ways that like still to this day you're struggling with it. Mm-hmm. And how you are having those small wins every single day. Mm-hmm. Because I think in life we always struggle with like something. There's mm-hmm. like one thing. I mean, not just one thing, but there's like one or a couple things for mm-hmm. all of us. And we may never fully break free from it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just really cool to be talking with people while they're in the process of what they're going
Absolutely.
Through. Yeah. And I appreciate that like vulnerability from you. Yeah. yeah.
I have one more thing to say
yeah.
just about – if you are going through any sort of eating disorder, mm-hmm. My like message is don't wait. I mean, I know that it's really, really hard and it's the hardest thing to do to get help, but this is something that you don't mess around with. Like yeah. this is your only body. And I know I touched on it earlier, but you're damaging yourself now in a way that's going to really affect your future. And mm-hmm. you have to do it for yourself and you have to do it for your future children. You have mm-hmm. to do it for like, especially as a woman,
yeah.
like you have to get help.
Yes.
So yeah. like if this like helps one person, mm-hmm. like get help in some sort of way, like that's what I want because yeah. you are so much more worthy than what you're putting the emphasis on right mm-hmm. now. And it's a real disease and it's, you know, you can't fix it yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to dig yourself out with help. So that's my biggest yeah. message there.
Yeah. And with that, I'd also just say like, if you're someone who is maybe not thinking about the future, it's like my friend almost like nearly died
mm-hmm.
when she was going through that phase. And so I think that was probably a wake up call for mm-hmm. her. And it's like, just know that like your life could end up, you know, you never know what could happen with your life from what you do with your decisions. And so
yes.
just like don't wait.
Yeah.
Get help. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Even if it's a small thing. Like do what you can.
And we're talking like long-term damage too. Like this
yes.
is – so this is what helped me was like the cold hard facts. But like, you know, you're doing major hormone damage to yourself when you're not eating. Like, you know, I mean major hormone damage.
Yeah.
That's very hard to repair. So you're doing hormone damage. Your heart is putting a lot of strain
yeah.
on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that you need to know, like
mm-hmm.
that anybody who's listening who isn't eating or yep. is, you know, in that phase of your life, like these are long-term things.
Yeah.
Very long-term. And
yeah.
that's something that really scared me out of it and kind of helped me get help. So
yeah.
think about literally your physical heart and your
yeah.
hormones and all of these things that 10 years from now – you want to have.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry to, like, be dramatic. But
no.
Like, ladies, we need to do it for your future self.
Yeah.
So.
And to anyone, too, it's, like, get help.
Yeah.
Because you – if there's one thing I've learned in life, we are not meant to live life alone. And
no.
living life alone, to me, is actually somewhat more fun and challenging. Or, no, well, it's challenging. But, like, it's easy, and I like it sometimes, but, like – it's important to connect with other people because their stories will connect with ours or they'll have knowledge that maybe we don't about how to overcome
mm-hmm.
something. Like, don't be alone. Don't
yeah.
stay alone.
Say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you
yeah.
need to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You do. To
mm-hmm.
yourself, to
Absolutely.
Your family, to literally anybody, but you
mm-hmm.
need to say it out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have power over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool. Well, thank you again, Liz.
Yeah.
I appreciated this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
Where can people find you on social media?
Well, my Instagram is Stella218. Has nothing to do with my actual name.
A hard find.
Yeah.
yeah.
So Stella218. And then Megan and Liz is like obviously my my band name. Mm-hmm. So if you want to look up the music, the YouTube, all that. But like my Instagram is still at 218. So that's where you can kind of find everything else.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. If you want more inspiring content like what you heard from Liz's story today, you can click the subscribe button or the link for our YouTube page will be in the description. And if you also want more exclusive content, you can join our Patreon community at patreon.com/whatsyourlifejourney. That link will also be in the description. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. Bye.